This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Bill Fick Ford and the WCRA. Oh, and a little rodeo called The American. Guys, Cowboy Channel and RFD TV are coming off of a record-breaking year thanks to the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo having been in Arlington. Well, that's over. That's done. It was great. It was fun. We were there. We saw. We came. We went. Boom. It's 2021, though. And it's time for The American, presented by Durango Boots. Going forward as planned, March 6th through the 7th at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, right across the street from where the NFR was. Go to SeatGeek.com today to get your tickets. There has not been this much rodeo talent under the same roof, well, since the NFR. But there's even more of them this time. It's great. Haley Kinzel, Stetson Wright, Sage Kimsey, you name the cowboy or cowgirl, they are here. For more information about The American, please visit AmericanRodeo.com. Guys, Bill Fick Ford is the number one Super Duty dealer in the country for the fourth year in a row. You guys have heard me rant and rave about Bill Fick Ford for the absolute best buying experience in the car industry, truck industry. Bill Fick Ford's the place to go. I bet you remember the old ad where I said I was getting a new Super Duty. Well, here's the keys for that. Bill Fick Ford delivers, guys. No bull discounts, no bull interest rates, the best buying experience you can get. And if you are not local to Huntsville or the Houston area, he'll deliver it to you just like he did to me. Bill Fick Ford. Rodeo Corpus Christi has nearly tripled its added prize money from 2019 and will be one of the largest payout rodeos this summer. That's $545,000 with no entry fees. Rodeo Corpus Christi will be the first stop of WCRA's Triple Crown of Rodeo. The only way to qualify for the Rodeo Corpus Christi is by nominating your rides and runs with the WCRA. You can win $1 million by nominating your rides and runs and earning points with the WCRA. Through the Triple Crown of Rodeo, the WCRA will award this $1 million cash prize to any one athlete or collective of athletes who win first place at any three consecutive WCRA major rodeos. A common misconception with the WCRA is that it is only for the pros. That's the farthest thing from the truth. It's designed for the underdogs to have their fair chance. If you feel like you have the ability to compete against the best in the world, but maybe you don't feel like it. Maybe you can't afford to go down the road for a full year. Maybe you got a job. Well, the WCRA is made for you. The WCRA has awarded more than $8.5 million to rodeo athletes in just a couple of years. To learn more, visit WCRARodeo.com and learn how you can earn a spot at Rodeo Corpus Christi and possibly be rodeo's next millionaire.
What sets Resist All apart is the legacy of the cowboys who wear the brand. These traditions are passed down from fathers to sons, from heroes to future champions. Since 1927, Resist All has been handcrafting the finest American-made cowboy hats. Generation after generation, we live it.
This is The Gauge with host Chance Conradude.
Are you freaking serious? It's Conrado. This is The Gauge, and I am Chance Conrado. On this episode of the podcast, we have got C.R. Bradley. C.R. is an NFR qualifier in the tie-down. He's got 24 AQHA Open World and Reserve World Championships. He's also got over 50 Congress titles. He owned a pretty famous horse called Roni, who Tuff Cooper won the finals on in 2012. And, you know, he is the real deal when it comes to training rope horses. And I think it was a pretty informative podcast. Check it out. Well, you should have a lot to talk about, all things considered. I mean, what, 50 Congress titles?
Or probably plus? I lost count.
Yeah. What do you do? I mean, it's a whole different world, right, from rodeo. And yep. So, I mean, I'd like to... There's probably a lot you could tell us just about AQHA shows, and because you do it head, heel, and tie down, all of it, right?
So I started when I was a kid. My parents both showed horses. My dad showed reiners and all-around pleasure horses and took a lot of kids to horse shows that did the pleasure and the horsemanship and showmanship and did all the all-around stuff. And so I grew up in the horse show world. Probably my first show was the Congress when I was 9 years. Well, I showed like the walk trot classes when I was younger, like six, seven, and eight. And then I started roping. I think the first time I roped was there when I was nine.
Wait, and your dad didn't rope?
My dad roped too. Oh, yes. That's I grew up in Ohio, in Indiana. So there wasn't as much roping there as there is here in Texas. But he roped and I watched it on TV and that was always my favorite sport or favorite event. So I started roping when I was, I think I picked up a rope when I was three, but the first time I probably showed or went anywhere was probably nine.
Really?
Yes.
They have junior rodeo there like they do down here? I mean, not to the extent probably, but they have it like a summer deal?
We had a high school rodeo. We didn't have junior rodeo when I guess I'm old now. I'm 43 this year. So we didn't have the junior rodeo. So the only place I could go was the horse shows.
Yeah.
And I think one advantage, the horse shows were really good. I'd come out to Oklahoma and we got roped with like JD Yates. There was a lot of pro rodeos that went to the ropers that went to the horse shows back then. And so you get to see a lot of really good people at the horse shows. And I think that was a good experience.
Yeah. I mean, they still do to an extent, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it just depends because there's a lot of rope horse outfits and things like that. I mean, my brother-in-law, he goes and he shows a few every year and whatnot. But, I mean, so you just started showing right from the get-go.
Right. And I kind of always wanted to rodeo. That was kind of my goal, was to go to the NFR. So I showed all through youth. I won 6 youth world championships. I showed reiners, cutters, did the high school rodeo thing. And then as soon as I got out of high school, I moved to Texas because I worked for Robbie Schroeder. And I went to North Texas Community College in Gainesville for a couple of years and on the rodeo team. And I still showed horses through that time too.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, there's just not a lot of, like most of the time, like you do it when you're a kid or something like that. Or if you train like fraternity horses and things like that, you always do it for that reason. But I mean, you went to the finals in 04, right?
04, right. Yeah. So through college, I showed horses. I worked for a lot of trainers. And I roped with a lot of horse trainers. I'd go rope with Bobby Lewis. Or I stayed at Carl McChristian's, who was a rope. He trained rope horses and cow horses. And I stayed at his house for a while. Roped with Gary Wells a lot. Then after 2 years, went to OSU. And that's where I met Rosie, my wife. And I worked for Rick Scher some, and Jeff Carney lived in Tulsa, and I went over there and roped a lot and showed horses for Rick Scher. So I won my first world championship. Actually, the first one I won was on my own mare in 98, I think, 98. And she's one we raised. So I showed her mom. Her mom was a gay bar king mare that my dad started, and we won the first world championship on her when I was 13. And Roni was her first baby. And so then I won my first open world championship in 98 on her.
Yeah. And then it just kind of off to the races at that point. Yes. I mean, what's 98? It's 2000. I mean, what is that? 22, 23. Yeah. 23 years. So it's at least 2 a year.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I won.
As far as winning.
I won. I went like up until last year, I think I went 19 years and was either first or second every year at the world show.
Yeah.
And I'd won in youth, all around the Congress a few years too, which was pretty big, like in youth, because they did, I was against all the all around people that did all the pleasure and the horsemanship and equitation, I guess against all those people too. So I won the all around there. I won the total all around once and like my age group a couple of times.
Yeah. Well, explain, because we've got listeners from a lot of different places. It'd be interesting to hear your explanation of what the Quarter Horse Congress is and just how huge and how expansive it is with like literally every discipline.
It is the largest single breed horse show in the world. And they have, it goes on for over a month. And right, the way it's set up now, I think they do the reining and cutting for a week. And they have a futurity and for that. Then they have the all around classes and they go on for like 3 weeks. And the roping's not super big. When I was a kid, it was really big. They used to have the calf rope and they'd get over 100 in it. And it was a really big show. And it's kind of, the roping's died off a little bit.
Why do you think that is?
The location for one, because more ropers are out here and it's just a long travel. And I think they kept increasing the money and the pleasure and the reining, but they didn't increase the money and the roping as much. And I think it's died down a lot.
You think it's going to disappear from the Congress at some point?
It might. There's still some supporters that really want to keep it there. So hopefully it stays.
Yeah, a lot of breeders probably and owners, obviously, because they want, you know, their horses to get tested and things like that at a young age. I mean, it's just crazy to think that it wouldn't be such a big deal, like as far as the roping. But, I mean, if the money's not there, then, I mean, no one from Texas is going to go there and set up a rodeo.
Right. It's travel, and you're going up there. They only give one set of points. It's more of a prestige thing in most of the classes. It's like you win the Congress. It's kind of like second to the world show. So it's a kind of prestige just to go there and win. Well, in the roping, I don't know. They don't think of it as a prestige as much. They'd rather get money or points.
Right.
And there's not as much money or points there.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, if you're going to breed and train horses, though, I mean, you've got to do something. Like, there's a very clear-cut path, like with barrel horses, right? Obviously, that's very simple, right? Fraternity Derby and then rodeo. And it's not as well known maybe to like your average person who might go to junior rodeos or something that there's that entire path for, you know, there's head and heel horse fraternities or tie down fraternities. People might not realize that.
So right now, what's taken off right now is the fraternities. They have the big one, the big team Roman fraternity in Fort Worth, and it's in October. So my next show is in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they're having a calf roping and team roping fraternity. It's in April. And then they're going to have another one in Oklahoma City the 1st of June. And I'm going to go there. And they're both having a calf roping fraternity and team roping fraternities. And that's kind of where there's money in it. And that's kind of where everybody's going to now. The quarter horse deal has been good for a long time. But basically, you're showing to get points all through the year to qualify for the world show. And then you're trying to win the world championship, which is a prestigious thing for your horse and you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a few things out there, right? Like people gun for that. People want EQHA Horse of the Year, those sort of things. But I guess for you, I mean, you had to make a pretty – because you went to the finals that one year. And did you try to go more times, or did you kind of decide, hey, you need to stick to training and showing?
That was my goal to make the NFR. After I qualified, I quit. I rodeoed for about 4 years, but I didn't – I stayed around in my circuit a lot. I'd go to the big winter rodeos. I won the Prairie Circuit, I think, 2002, 2003. I won Fort Worth in 2002, then didn't have a very good 4th of July. So I kind of came home, went to circuit rodeos after that year.
Right.
My rookie year wasn't real good. And then the next year I won Fort Worth and won Prairie Circuit finals, calf roping. And I think I won it all around that year. And then came pretty close to making the finals the next year. That was a 50 year rodeo year. We only could go to 50 rodeos, and I came pretty close that year. And then next year I made the finals, and then I retired and just trained horses.
Yeah. Why was that? I always wonder when people, you know, like I'll never forget, like Sid Steiner, I mentioned him probably too much, but he went one world championship, never went back.
Yeah.
Was that kind of mentality? Or?
It was tough, and it wasn't great financially back then. I mean, the finals was good, but we didn't have the American. There's some good rodeos now. And I think Calgary only paid $50,000. That was almost before Houston. I don't think Houston started paying $50,000 until like right after that.
Really?
I think that's right. Like they paid good. It was a normal rodeo, but it was a good rodeo. Added a lot of money, but I don't think they paid $50,000 until I quit.
Really?
So there wasn't a lot of places. I mean, like I qualified for the finals and I was I was negative money until I won money at the finals to get it back ahead. So it wasn't the most financial until you won good at the finals. It wasn't very great financially, and I figured it'd be better stay home and train horses.
I mean, it's still kind of that way, even with some of that big money, because if you're not the guy who wins that big money, then what difference does it make?
If you're not the top couple at the finals, or you don't win the American, or win one of the big jackpots or something, it's still hard.
Yeah, well, it's even harder if they cancel them.
Yes, it is. It's tough. I'm sure it was really tough last year, except for the guys that did really good at the finals, maybe.
But. Well, yeah, and all the guys who qualified for World Series, and then, you know, I knew a few people who had qualified for the first time ever, and they were stoked. They had just started roping like the year before, and it was a big deal for them, and for it to get canceled so abruptly was kind of a shocker. Yeah,
I really like that roping, too. I placed a couple years ago with Jackie Crawford in 14. I think we won ninth or something, but it was still a big win for us, and it was. I like that roping.
Yeah,
the finals is really neat.
Yeah, the whole way they set it up for like everybody, it's just super inclusive.
Yeah,
and it doesn't scare people away. Because you know, some of those, if you jackpot in Texas, it could scare you.
It is tough in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, on either side, you jackpot tie down or team roping, it might scare a guy. But if, when the way they have the USTRCA set up, it's very inclusive.
Yes.
But that would have been tough. I couldn't imagine being Ty Yost, new CEO, and then having to be a part of that.
Right. And it's fun now just to get to rope for that much money. The payout there is so big, it's just fun to rope.
Yeah, it's great for the, you know, for like 25 through 16 who didn't qualify, they can go over there and they can make not as much money, but sure, a good enough amount to make it worth being in Vegas or wherever. But I guess one thing I was going to mention, as far as you go, I mean, you train a lot of horses, and do you get a lot of outside horses, or are you just training your own horses?
No,
that's actually something I don't.
Most of
know
the stuff
you.
I show are customers' horses.
Yeah.
So people send, and a lot of it, some of it's for breeding. People have bred the horse, and they raised it, and they want to see it show. And then some people are going to show it themselves. Probably my biggest amount of customers just love the horses and just want to watch them show.
Yeah.
And that's probably been my biggest amount of customers. So I train them. And I like to stick mostly to the show. I mean, to show horses. I don't take very many just rope horses. It's hard. It's harder taking the rope horses. So I'd like the show horses that I'm going to rope on. And then I train them during the year, get them qualified, take them to World Show or take them to Futurities. And then usually I keep them for a couple of years, and they may sell them or take them home after that.
Yeah, and you think it's just that's – I don't want to say more lucrative, but I mean, there's more insurance involved that way. Because when you take outside horses, it's hard to get paid, first of all. You know, guys like Marty Miller, that's a tough gig.
Right. A lot of them want to send them to you for 90 days and expect you to train them. And they're not, and most of them aren't broke. That's the main thing. The show horses, we have time to get them broke first. And I like them really broke, which I can do anything I ask them to do, basically. Like, they're going to be collected. They're going to give their head. I can teach them how to stop correctly. They neck rein. They do everything I ask them to do before I rope on them, which makes it way easier to teach them to rope.
Yeah. So you have somebody who does that for you, who gets them started at your place, or they go somewhere and then come to you?
I don't like riding the colt, like the ones that are, for first 90 days, I want somebody else. I send them off, let somebody else ride them. I enjoy riding them and getting them broke after they're not going to buck me off. So.
Yeah, but, no kidding. That's a tough, there's nothing harder than breaking colts from the ground up. It's almost like you just get on and hold on. I used to do that. God. I was dumb. I didn't know any other way to make money for a long time when I was a kid, and so I thought breaking colts was a good idea.
I tell you what, it's in demand, though. Like, you can always keep horses breaking colts.
Oh, but it's always in demand. But, the thing I've noticed is, like, what you're doing, it's a different clientele, right? Everybody needs their colts broke or they're too scared to do it. But most people, frankly, I mean, they can't afford to send a horse out for more than 90 days to 6 months. I mean, that's part of the issue you run into.
Right.
I've run into that issue. I've sent calf horses to people, and like, I can't afford to do this anymore. You're going to have to send them back.
It is expensive. And it's really good. You kind of need a really good horse to make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
So,
well, and you got to send it to the right person who's going to be real upfront with you.
Yeah.
Which I think is the hard thing, right? Cause you got to leverage that. Cause you got to pay your bills.
Right.
You also have to manage expectations, and
horses are expensive.
I think it's the market's out of control.
Right.
Not a bad way, but I mean, you got people, top guys who can't find a good rope horse.
Right.
It's easier on the head and heel side, but tie down horses.
Oh, they're hard.
My God. When guys are going to Brazil to find one that they can go to the finals on, you know, there's a demand in the market.
Yeah. I've been to Brazil a lot to do clinics, and there are a lot of good horses there. Like I don't know. They don't feed a lot of grain, and they're quieter, and the calves don't run as hard because they don't grain them as much.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of, and they also breed
it
for
roping.
It
makes the horses look really good on video when those calves run the way they do.
They're easier to train on, and they breed for rope horses too. Where like here, I would say more than half the horses we rope on weren't really bred to rope. They were bred for another event, and we got seconds.
Yeah.
Like, and we may take a good one that does something else first and then rope on them, or we get the rejects to rope on. But in Brazil, they breed just for roping, so they're getting the very best ones they breed to rope on, and there are some nice horses down there.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, you would, with the demand and everything, maybe that'll change, but I guess cow horses, a lot of cow horses.
Yep.
Or someone decide, like, you'll notice a lot of the really good, I mean, you know, I don't know what I'm telling you, but right. like a barrel horse reject or something turns out to be a great rope horse. That's what we always did with our, I mean, because my folks trained barrel horses, right. and when there was a reject, you'd send them to get roped on.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not fair to the industry.
Right. And the calf horses take a long time. Like, you can train it. If you have a broke horse, you can train it to rope calves pretty fast, but it takes years to get them to where they you can actually win on. I mean, where you can win on at the rodeos and they stay good. For them to stay consistent.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you notice that, right? Like, there's some amazing guys out there who just can't get their hands on a horse, so you don't see them at the finals. Or right. you see them at the finals because they got lucky or they had somebody else's horse, but then they just never get mounted again.
Right.
I mean, what do you think is the key? Because we haven't talked about breakaway on this show for a while, but when it started blasting and it was, you know, included in everything, we were talking about how the breakaway industry was going to kind of screw up tie-down horses. And talking to a guy like you, I think it'd be interesting to hear your opinion.
I've had way more calls this last year for breakaway horse than I ever did for calf horses.
Yeah.
And they want a good one now. It used to be they would get the reject rope horses that wouldn't work rope or something for like $12,000. Now they're wanting them over they'll pay over $25,000, get calls all the time. Then they want a good one. They want to score and run and stop, and they want good ones now. And the industry's been great. They're doing great.
But don't you think it hurts the tie-down industry? Because some of those prime horses are getting half-trained,
right?
You know, and then you never really get them there
yeah.
for tie-down.
Right. No, and I think, it takes the number of horses that are available away, yeah. But there's some really good breakaway horses still. So
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you've seen a lot of them. And
yes.
I don't know, it'll be interesting to see over the next few years as breakaway continues to grow, because it seems like they're grooming that for something specific.
I think it's taken off more than any other event lately. I think they're doing great.
Yeah. I mean, they've got the right girls. They're roping them in the ones. It's easy to throw it into a rodeo because it's such a fast event.
Yeah.
You know, they throw it into a rodeo and it doesn't hardly mess anything up.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see if they eventually start including it in Vegas.
I hope so.
I do too. It was nice to see like Jackie win it. That was great.
Right.
So, who better to win the first one, right?
Right.
How many client horses do you have to reject? I mean, I know based on when you have a resume like yours, you even have a decent website, which is a lot of people in the horse industry do not have good websites.
If they want to send them to be a show horse and it's broke, I'll take, I mean, I can find room for them because I've sent over my career, I've sent a lot of them home and told people they were not going to be good enough. Calf horses, and it takes a really tough horse to be a calf horse. To stop and take the jerk and work, I mean, to do that part of it and then take the pressure in the box, they don't all make it. And so I've had to send a lot of horses home because they weren't good enough.
Yeah, how do you handle that? Like you specifically, how do you handle that call?
It's hard. Sometimes when you're trying to be nice, they don't really get it. Then you try to be a little bit sterner, but the horse isn't very good, and then they take it harder.
Yeah.
It doesn't always go real well. But I try to be up front because, I mean, I don't want to waste my time or I don't want to ride one. I have trouble riding them. I can't make a horse stop. I mean, they either stop I show them how to stop, but I can't force, if they don't want to stop, I don't have a way to force them to stop. So they either, I mean, you show them how to stop, and if they don't want to take the jerk, I mean, you can kind of work with them a little bit, but if they don't try, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's true. And you see a lot of people struggle, right? A lot of people are really enamored by tie down, rightfully so. I mean, that's always been me as well, but because it's like the sexy roping. You know, it just feels like that. You just feel like you're the most athletic guy if you do tie down and you do it well. But there's, like, I've had people, just because we talk about tie down all the time on the show. So I get messages on Instagram, how can I be a better tie down roper? Hey, I've got this horse that I can rope on. How do I get that horse? You know, I can't send him off. But, I mean, you'd be amazed how many messages I get just because I talk about it.
Right.
And, I mean, what kind of advice would you give somebody? Like, if they want a rope, they don't have the means to send it to somebody like you, but, you know, maybe they have calves or whatever. I mean, what do you think the step is to get that horse going?
One thing, like, when I'm training horses, I almost always rope for the horse. Like, everything I do is for the horse. It's not for me. So I don't run a whole lot of calves per day. I'll ride on my track calf around the arena, rope it a couple of times and not rope. Then I work them on rope. I'm big on working them rope every day. I rope on them. So I teach them to back up. When I throw the rope out, they back up and pull weight until I sit down to tie the calf, and then they stop and keep the rope tight. And then I don't ever want them to drag after that. I just want to keep the rope tight while I walk back to them. And so I work on that every day. And I'll knot rope a couple times around the arena. I go sit in a box, score some, then run one or two out of the box. And I do more. I don't tie a lot down, but I work them on rope so much that they're really good working rope. And so, and then I really like knot roping because you can stay on them and they take the jerk and you can help them with the stop and get them back out of the stop hard. And the time, what I really like about work, going around and around the arena without coming out of the chute is I can get their timing so much better. Like they're listening, their timing, I'm swinging in stride with their feet. So their stop is in time with my rope. And that makes a big difference when you go rope at the rodeo.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. But as far as like the process, right? If you were to lay it out for somebody, like they said, hey, what's the process? Like taking a horse that maybe it's a breakaway horse and making it a, you know, a high school rodeo level horse. I mean, what's the process?
And teaching it to work, like working on rope every day. So I use two ropes and one on each side and I back them into the box. So when I'm working them, when they're pulling, I leave them alone. I pull on the rope. I always keep tension on it. I'm pulling on it. As long as they're backing, I leave them alone. If they quit backing or slow down, I'll bump the keeper that's tied to the tie down away from the horse. I never hit the horse, but I bump keeper to, and I do it as hard as I have to get them to move their feet. When they move their feet, I quit pulling. And when I sit down, they stop and stand there. And so I do that a couple, until they understand how to do it. And then I use a railroad tie and have them pull it like they're doing a calf.
Yeah.
So they get used to the weight.
Yeah, that's an old school move.
Yeah. And then sit down on the railroad tie like I'm tying it, and that's when they stop and hold it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and people get in too big a hurry. Like, you'll have a horse going pretty good after a little while, but you can't really rush. You got to keep doing the same thing until they get solid at it. I see a lot of people that have a really nice young horse, and then they when it's working good, so they go to the rodeo and start running off of it and start going fast, and they blow it up, and then they have trouble ever getting it back to where it was.
Right.
I see a lot of that.
Yeah. I mean, well, and if you're rodeoing, I mean, you need the horse to rodeo. So right. It's a tough,
it is
tough
hard.
Call.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of guys? I mean, I know Tough won a title on one of your horses. Yeah. What was that? That was one of his first wasn't it?
Yeah. Tough rode my roan mare. He rode her 3 times in the NFR, or 2 years, and like half the time 1 year. He rode her at Omaha. He rode her, and he tried her at Northside and won Northside. He was 7-1 or something at Northside.
First time he got on her.
Well, he ran 2 at home. He took her to the first NFR in 2010, and he won 92,000 or something. He was a high money calf roper there. Trevor ended up winning the world. He was already ahead.
Yeah.
And then he came the. She was hurt the next year, and he rode her at Omaha before she got hurt and won more money than everybody else. He won $32,000, won Omaha, the tour finale. And then she got hurt and had surgery that winter before the finals. And he won his first world championship that year. I think he was riding one he bought from Trevor, one of his good old horses. And then he rode him Roney the next year at the NFR, and he won $120,000 on her or something, and won the world, came back from being behind by $30,000 going in. And then he rode her off and on the next year a little bit. But so he won like $250,000 on her at 3 rodeos.
Yeah. Which
I told him it took me 5 years to win that honor. But he did.
Is she retired now?
She's retired. She's 29. So we still have her. She looks really good right now.
Really?
She's on senior feed. And
yeah.
She's doing good.
Yeah,
still
senior
sound.
Feed's got something in it.
Yeah,
we always put the old horses on senior feed. Even some of the young ones, surprisingly,
it's
works
good
pretty
feed.
Good for. It is.
Yeah.
I guess that's another thing, because it's when you have a really good horse, it's really hard to let people ride them.
Right.
I mean,
I didn't like mounting people very much, and I was retired by then, and I thought it was, and he did a pretty good job riding her the first year, and then.
Yeah, because I'm sure a lot of people ask you to use horses, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's hard letting them, because most people don't ride as good as what, I mean, I want them to, so they don't,
yeah.
I don't let people ride my horses very often.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
and then
you can't.
I had Rambo for 3 years, the one Hunter rode at the finals this year.
Yeah.
And I didn't have anything to do with him. I ran the first calf. He had surgery 2 years ago, and I ran the first calf on him last spring, and then Hunter took him and had him all year. I didn't have anything to do with him before the finals, but one of my owners, Travis Dobbs, owns him.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy to see Hunter come out like that.
That's a good horse, and that's one of Hunter's old horses that he used to own. So
yep,
he did really good. Roped really good on him.
Yeah, he won like 120 grand or more.
Yeah,
because needed it. He hadn't been in the rodeos in so long.
Yep, he did good. And Hunter did good. Hunter's coming off surgeries too, and they both did great.
Yeah, that was the whole thing, you know, because he was always ridiculously athletic guy.
Yep,
but he. Was it a hip?
I think he had hip surgery like three times.
He told us when we were at the NFR when we were doing the shows, but yeah, I think it was a hip. Whatever, he rebounded. I mean, it was pretty amazing. That was some of the craziest tie down roping. Did you go quite a bit?
No, I went a couple nights. We went sat with Travis one night, the owner of Rambo, and then we sat with Gardner's one night. But it was neat seeing it a different. It was nice being in Texas because we could go home. We could come from our house, go watch it, and go home.
Yeah, the whole Globe Life thing, it was really interesting to be in there. They did a great job with that. But the tie-down, it came down to, kind of like $1,000 again, just like the year before?
Good roping.
Yeah. That just showed how amazing Shad Mayfield did that year, because I think he got the 10 grand. He didn't win much money, and he still just barely pulled it out.
I mean, he roped good all year. Shane roped really good at the finals, too.
Yeah, he won the average. Yeah. He was 2 years in a row for him, though, being within a few grand of 2 world championships. I'm pretty salty about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess maybe he'll I bet he probably can get close this year. I mean, a lot cooking for him. I'm sure he'll make something cool happen. When you're raising your horses, like, what do you prioritize, right? Do you prioritize your client horses because you have to, or your horses? I mean, I don't know how many of your own but
prioritize definitely my customers' horses, but I haven't raised a whole lot of my own. We've had we've owned 3 out of my roan mare. She has one right now that's just turned 6. She's a lion share of fame, and we bred her to be a barrel horse and head horse. She got hurt last summer. She was doing good. She was run a little bit behind, but she's a really nice horse, pretty roan mare. And I've been heading and working her on barrels. Rosie rides her some, and she hadn't been anywhere yet, but she's coming back now, and we're excited about this year. She's eligible for the Royal Crown, and they're gonna have a team roping this summer, and we're really excited about her.
How old?
She's 6 this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
you guys are gonna go team to Rock Springs?
For the team roping for charity. And then she had a dual ray that I won the super horse on in 2014. I won the calf roping, junior calf roping on him, and reserve in Healing. And he won the super horse. And then I sold him about a year or so later to one of my good customers, Monty Freeman. He's showing him now in the amateur and doing really good with him.
So. Yeah. Do you nerd out on the breeding pretty hard?
No, I did for a little bit. And then it takes so long to get them where I wanted to rope or run barrels on them. I kind of slowed down. I don't know. And plus, we always had an embryo, Roni, and then the last one we did was Ixie. So it kind of got expensive, so I kind of slowed down.
Transfers are crazy.
They are. It's expensive. So I really didn't breed her very much. Then the first one I did, we traded out the vet. He did it for free, so he got an embryo. And it turned into – the one he got was nicking in the bud and was a really nice horse. And then we had another one that was a good team-roping horse, and he went to Arizona, and he's a nice team-roping horse.
Hmm. What do you like the best? Is tie down your favorite?
Tie down was definitely my favorite. I really, really loved roping calves. Now I'm getting older and slower, and I've been trying to team rope more. But I team rope good, but I'm not as good as I was calf roping. And I've won more calf roping, even showing.
Really,
I've done a lot more there than I have team roping. But I enjoy team roping, and I've been working at it, trying to get better.
Yeah,
and I'm good, but I'm not like the open as good as the open guys for sure. That rodeo, but
yeah. Yeah, they're just so much time in
they're
the saddle.
They're so good, yeah. They're getting so fast now.
Oh, my God, like, yeah.
3.
Watch the team rope in slack, and it's just, 30 in the 3s?
Yeah.
The north side, it was ridiculous. And everybody's so, like, especially on the heel side, like, there's not a guy in the top, like, 60 that misses the corner ever and does anything. It's just amazing. It seems like heeling has evolved so much. I don't know if it's the horses or what it is, but... It's always been good, or heck, I don't know. Rope technology might have something to do with it too. These ropes have gotten good, but I mean, what do you think? You watch these guys on. It's the head side too.
Right, dude, they're so good. The headers can reach so far. So I mean, I've always been able to throw fast, but I've never been able to from three coils away, they can do it every time. And they're
all
good.
Of them.
Yes. They're fast and they're good and they're riding pretty good horses. And I think the heel horses, there's a lot of really good heel horses. And I think everybody grew up, and there's so much now with the USDRC. I mean, when everybody was growing up going through the USDRC, there's so much opportunity to rope, and there's so many schools and roping dummies for them to learn on, and there's so much opportunity now. And team roping's gotten way better from when I was growing up, I think.
Yeah, is team roping second to barrels, or is it ahead of barrels for it might be.
I think there's more team ropers than our barrel racers as far as horses.
That's got to be close.
Yeah.
It's got to be real close. I mean, because there's a – maybe in Texas there's more team ropers, but everywhere else, because you know, if you go anywhere, California to East Coast, there's a jackpot in like every area for barrels, and not quite as many team ropings. You get all the little guys who put on the weekend rodeos, which is what's great about the USTRC is they are able to basically give anybody a jackpot that wants one to count.
Right.
So it's pretty interesting. They've done a good job with that organization other than canceling, but I'm sure they'll make it up this year.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Going out there again.
Yeah. Have you gone every year?
I've gone every last few. Yeah. I've been the last 6 or 7 years. Yeah. I didn't go. I actually wasn't going to go last year because, my son's basketball coach and we started about the 1st of December. So the year before I actually flew out, I coached my son's basketball game like at 9 o'clock in the morning Saturday and caught a flight out of Dallas and flew out to Las Vegas and roped Saturday afternoon in the warm-up roping in Vegas. But so I was planning on not going this year. But
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. How old's your son?
He's 12. 12? He just turned 12. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, everybody's got to make that choice to like back off on the, yeah. Well, not every parent does, but the good ones.
Yeah. I really enjoy watching him play basketball. I'm retired coaching now that this was his sixth grade year. So next year he plays for the school.
You don't want to coach more?
No, I'm done coaching. I'm done. I enjoyed it. I coached it for the last 3 years and really enjoyed it. But he has a really good basketball instructor he gets lessons from, and he's going to have an AAU team. He's going to play for him.
Really?
This summer. So.
Did you play basketball?
I did a little bit growing up, but I kind of quit. I kind of quit everything in high school so I could rope because it was hard after school.
You got to make that choice.
Yeah. I wanted to rope really bad and wanted to be good, and it's kind of hard getting home from school after sports and being tired.
Yeah, my roping always took a back burner for a long time because a rodeo was fourth sport of the year at the end of the year, and it was just like, I don't want to go load steers or rope calves right now. I'm freaking tired. So I get it. You do. And I think everybody who's achieved anything in the arena gives up everything else at some point. I don't think you have a choice.
Right.
This is a professional sport.
Yeah.
Do you have any other kids or just the one?
Just the one.
Yeah. One and done?
One and done, yeah.
Mama allowed that?
She, we're both so busy.
Really?
I mean, she's running barrels and selling her oxygen, and then she sells insurance, and now she's selling a new magnetic blanket. And
does she make you uncomfortable with all of her achievements?
So, well, yeah, she does. She's a good salesman. I tell you what, she can talk. So she's a real good salesman. I'm not a very good salesman. I talk a lot at my clinics, but my normal day of riding horses, I don't get to talk very much because I'm usually by myself riding horses. So.
Yeah, if you were talking to yourself when you're riding all those horses, people might think you got a problem. You wouldn't be able to get outside horses anymore.
No.
You don't want that.
No, listen to this music, and that's about it.
Yeah. So do you like, are you riding an AirPod?
No, I have a radio, big radio in my indoor arena.
Like a jukebox?
Oh, it's the ones you buy at Lowell's that takes the dirt and everything.
Really?
The big utility one, yeah. Hmm.
You know anything about those, Ty? I don't really know what he's talking about. Must be an age gap. It must be. Yeah, see, I don't know how you could. I've never met or at least not very many women who are like, I'm fine with having one child. It's like, as soon as one gets a little older, like get the itch, they have to have more. They got to have a friend.
She loves running barrels and that kind of.
Well.
We stay pretty busy with our one, too.
There's a lot of things you could say in regards to barrel racing to answer that question, but I won't because it's disrespectful.
Is it this kind of radio on the TV?
Pretty close, yeah, kind of like that.
That's fancy.
Yeah, it's good because even when it gets dusty in the arena and stuff, it still works.
You listen to the radio station or you plug
the radio station. There's a really good Christian station out of Dallas I listen to.
I don't listen to the radio much. I don't think most people listen to the radio anymore.
Well, and then I have a playlist on my phone too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I used to rest in peace, but I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh. mm-hmm. in the mornings on 820. But that was the only radio I've listened to in like a decade, it feels like. Because you can just pick whatever you want. You don't have to right. listen to somebody's commercials.
Right.
Unless you have one of those old school radios.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. You're in it for the long haul.
Right.
And it's interesting to talk kind of about the Congress and the different side, you know, other than rodeo. Because I just don't think a lot of people understand how big that stuff is outside of rodeo. Because rodeo is in your face. It's done a right. good job of being in your face. But that stuff is just behind the scenes. You just don't see, unless you go, you just don't see it.
Right. The rodeo is really fun. I enjoy it. It's probably more exciting, but the horse show is more reliable, I guess. We always, the good thing is we always rope in inside and air conditioner and heated arenas and.
Yeah, softens you up.
Yeah.
And that rodeo trail beats you down.
Hotel rooms and, yeah.
Yeah. Is that why you like it?
Because yeah.
it's just a much hotel smoother room. Trip.
You get to go eat afterwards. You don't drive all night.
And you don't have to do it 70 times a year.
Right.
So you don't have yeah. to drive from Pendleton down to wherever, back to Pendleton.
You don't have to rope in the mud.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever rope at Calgary in the mud?
Uh-huh.
Anybody who's been yeah. to Calgary has been forced to ride in the mud. Have they ever had a dry rodeo? I don't think I've ever seen a dry rodeo.
I went 4 or 5 years. I went the year I retired, I went to a couple of the big ones, but.
Mm. Just so you could for the last time?
Just one, yeah, one last time. And I went.
Use your qualifications one yeah. time before they were gone?
Right. And I went to Mesquite. I did the Mesquite series a lot since I moved down here.
Mm.
And then I went to, I've gone to Cheyenne a few times
yeah.
since, but.
Sounds like Cheyenne's on.
I hope so.
I've said that before last year at this time.
I was no way say, they're
canceling Cheyenne. Knock on wood.
Yeah, you keep knocking on that wood, buddy.
I don't know. I don't. When did they cancel? They did. They got pretty dang close to July when they
right.
pulled the trigger on that. And Denver did it quick. Fort Worth did it quick. But who else is canceled? I don't know.
Houston canceled. I heard. So I guess... the governor of Texas is opening back everything back up.
I just saw week. That. Yeah, I just saw Greg Abbott's like, yeah, we'll be back to normal on Wednesday. No more yeah. masks and all the businesses can open.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I am too. I sure wish it would have happened a year ago.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't know. Hopefully they can get things back together. If you're on the business side of anything, any type of commerce or materials, it's a weird time to be alive. It's kind of scary.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if you're a political man. I'm going to bring politics up on this.
My son is.
Really?
Yeah.
Your 12-year-old?
Oh, yeah. He wants to go to Duke and study political science.
Really?
Yeah, that's his new goal. If he did not MBA, he wants to run for president. Yeah. Those are his two things, MBA or run for president.
Is he going to have the height for the MBA?
He's 5'7", and he's just turned 12.
Oh, okay.
But, that's I don't know
tall.
I don't know if he's going to be 6'8", but we'll see. He's yeah. pretty good size.
Yeah.
Hey, if he gets 6'4", he's fine.
Yep.
Yeah.
As long as he practices dribbling a lot.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good point.
Get that jump shot going.
Yep.
I don't think any basketball, he could do both. Maybe he could be the first guy to transition from basketball to politics.
Right.
Certainly yep. could use that nowadays.
He almost follows it more than I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, he's good. He cried in November.
Yeah. I'm saying. Yeah, I bet he did. Well, I mean, that's actually good, though. I wonder how many kids are, like, emerging themselves in it, because I think that's probably the key to making sure that this whole thing, America, lasts, is by making sure that the kids are educated and stuff and not just ignoring it.
Right.
Must be smart.
He's pretty good. He's a pretty good student.
Yeah.
When he tries. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's probably bored with it. School kind of sucks. Like, let's be real. They don't tailor school nowadays to challenge kids. It's just push them through like
right.
cattle.
Right.
So. Probably excel when he gets out of
he's pretty smart school. Yeah.
All right, well, I think that's probably a good time to let you go. You're probably antsy and wanting to go rope.
No, thank you for having us.
No, absolutely us yeah. did somebody else here yeah. or is this like
no well I was supposed, free, I, was supposed to bring your... I was supposed to bring Rosie, but she had to go to a barrel race or something, so
yeah, well, I didn't marry a barrel racer. You just don't see him.
I'm not going to say anything.
You don't have to. We'll tailor it all to make it look like you said something. You're going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Sorry. Riley said that you like practical jokes. Blast it all over the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, no filters.
I'm sure Rosie's going to watch this.
Will she watch it?
Yeah, oh, yeah, she will.
All right. Well, we'll let you get on to Collinsville and get back to your game.
Thank you.
Thank you. This has been The Gauge, hosted by me, Chance Conrado, produced and edited by our guy, Ty Yeager. Shout out to the executive producers, Dustin Pointer and Cody Denton. Marketing and content produced by Riley Chone. Our theme song is by Shay Ashire and the Night Howlers. Make sure to rate and review this podcast, as well as follow The Gauge on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to The Gauge wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you guys next time.